Boston Globe columnist Dan McGowan is on the John DePietro Show.
Joining us from the Boston Globe, he is columnist Dan McGowan. And Dan, in Roadmap, you touch on the rising star of former governor of Rhode Island, now Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo.
Yeah, and I just found out this could even go be a bigger week for Gina Raimondo. The rumors are that the 60 Minutes episode may drop this weekend that we've all been waiting for. As you know, 60 Minutes was filming here, interviewed the former governor, the Commerce Secretary, and was in the State House several months ago. So somebody told me this morning they think there's a chance it could run this weekend. So that'll be another thing. But yeah, Gina Raimondo was at a big conference in D.C. this yesterday, and it was a very, I would say, a friendly conference to her, talking microchips and all the things that she's always talking about. But the interviewer, it was a really plugged in guy in D.C. His name's Steve Clemens, was very clear that there are a lot of people that think that she could be the president someday. It was put right out there, and she kind of brushed it off and laughed it off a little bit. But, you and I have talked about this a lot during the Biden administration, but especially I think in the last 12 months, she is clearly the kind of the MVP of the cabinet. And people who are listening to this that may, remember and may not have liked her tenure as governor, it isn't even about her, decision making necessarily, but business loves her. Business here very much usually loved her too. And she has, a lot of the kind of Democratic, and when I mean Democratic, I mean party, Democratic Party credentials that allows her to have some credibility with, more liberal people. She's never going to be, the biggest, she's never going to have the progressives in her pocket. But she's got a big swath of the Democratic Party that really, really likes her right now. And she's got the money class that really likes her. That's why I say business really loves her.
Dan McGowan, what do you hear about her relationship with Vice President Harris?
I think it's always something that's kind of worth paying attention to, and the speculation where, because your next question of course goes to would they ever run against each other, in a primary someday or something like that. I will say up close and personal, I was there and followed both the secretary and the vice president when they were in Rhode Island a couple of years ago. They seemed at the time to have a very cordial relationship. But what I think I can say, and I think you would agree with this, from covering Gina Raimondo for a really long time, I would say she doesn't have a lot of use for people that she finds to be useless.
Right.
And I'm not saying that she necessarily finds the vice president useless, but it is notable that you don't see her, tagging along, alongside the vice president very often. And she is clearly, I think, a threat to anyone, that's in the kind of high end Democratic Party that, kind of fancies themselves as a potential president one day. I think they all look over their shoulders at Gina Raimondo because, again, she has that donor class. Wall Street really likes her. The tech world, which is a huge player, and particularly in Democratic politics,
yep,
really loves her. And so while she doesn't yet have the, the national name, again, I think if you remember, I remember there was polling a couple of years ago, you and I talked about it, in New Hampshire, and, Gina had 0% name recognition. She is not a household name at this point. And so I think that a lot of these people, the Pete Buttigieg's, the Kamala Harris's, write her off a little bit. But again, when you have the ability to tap the donor network and raise, again, if Gina Raimondo wanted to run for president someday, she would raise hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
She may not win, but she could, she would be in the top tier of candidate, you know, in candidate donations. And so they're all looking over their shoulder a little bit at her.
It's just, and again, folks, speaking of Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe, I'm anxious to see the 60 Minutes piece because Dan McGowan, if you look at it, I'll be curious to see how much she's out on the campaign trail this fall because it really doesn't help her if, in fact, Biden-Harris are reelected because then that really cements Harris as the heir to the throne for 28.
It's true. I mean, it's a little Machiavellian, but your point is well taken because I think, you know, the politics person in me says, you know what? If it's not just Yermundo, if you're Pete Buttigieg, if you're a bunch of these folks who are not Kamala Harris, because again, you're right, the vice president tends to be the heir apparent, if you serve two terms as president, and, you know, you think about, obviously, Al Gore is the most recent, you know, I guess Joe Biden didn't quite have that because Hillary Clinton was the person. But
that's right.
Your point is right. So I think, but I think there's a lot of people are probably like, you know, you have to at least think, maybe not the Ginas or the Buttigiegs of the world, but the people who advise them absolutely think, boy, you know what? Maybe 4 years of Donald Trump wouldn't be so bad because it would, you know, it would open up the field for us. And remember, you know, let's play it out. If President Trump becomes president again, you know, you're not actually waiting in the wings for 4 years.
No.
You're waiting in the wings for about 18 months.
Yeah.
And then the primary essentially starts and you're back on the, you know, so it will be, you know, I think if you were an advisor to any of these people, you know, you would at least be planning out the scenarios of what happens if, and, you know, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. Whereas, you know, again, if you have to wait, if you have to wait another 4 years and Kamala Harris is the vice president, you know, the two-term vice president, and she's a black woman, it's really hard to be in, you know, one of the other people in the administration running against her.
And let's, you know, think about, we're talking about a frail president who might then not even finish out the term. So then you're talking about a President Harris. Now, folks, in the roadmap, Dan McGowan, you map out, I think the dynamic that you go into with Commerce Secretary Raimondo in her alma mater, LaSalle, I think it's an interesting one because I covered that, obviously. I was shocked that appearance that she made at Planned Parenthood. She then, by the way, after that, went underground for weeks, and the Fund campaign missed a huge opportunity to take advantage of that. But I think it's an interesting dynamic that it's in her best interest to still maintain a good relationship with LaSalle.
Yeah, well, and now you have a newer president there, Brother Malloy, and he seems to be very much leaning into, you know, wanting to embrace the fact that she's the Commerce Secretary and the former two-term governor here and a former valedictorian there. You know, I'll be fully, you know, showing full disclosure on this one. You know, I live right around the corner from LaSalle, so they've been promoting, you can see the signs at the school, that this is the 40th year that they started admitting women. And so they're having, you know, they're raising money around it. They're, you know, leaning into it pretty hard. And immediately the journalist in me thought, boy, I wonder if they're going to invite Gina because of
Love it.
The whole the kerfuffle around,
yes.
You know, around the portrait. And so I just asked, and I'll tell you, you know, the behind the scenes on this took a long time, took several weeks for them to, you know, officially come back to me. I'll know when I wrote in Roadmap that she's not going to be at the ceremony that's coming up. She's going to be in Singapore, but she's going to record, you know, a greeting, that sort of thing. That's actually become a lot of her MO. She gets asked to do this a lot at a lot of different Rhode Island events. She kind of records something and then sends it on. But Brother Malloy, the president over there at LaSalle, did say very clearly, he informed the diocese that he wanted her involved And they, he said they signed off on it. They were okay with it. So it seems like the tension there has, you know, has backed off a little bit. But you're right. When you just think about everything in terms of politics, you know, Gina, that's another area where, you know, when everybody else in this, in the Democratic Party in particular is, you know, is kind of uncomfortable with religion and you know, everyone's trying to be as, you know, move to the left as possible. And Gina Raimondo is the person who hangs out with Wall Street and can legitimately, like, very seriously talk about her faith. She's, you know, she's not a liar. She does go to church and she does, you know, she did grow up sort of with that upbringing. She would have to face tough questions, obviously, from the faith community about her position on abortion, things like that. But I think you're right. I think she wants to be associated with, you know, the private school that she went to. And I think she is comfortable to some degree talking about her faith.
When you mention, again, folks, speaking of Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe, well, as far as her faith, I mean, there's a famous passage, well, not famous, but a passage in a book that President Biden slipped into a church. I think it was, yes, the National Cathedral. And there in the pew, he sits with then Gina Raimondo, and I think it was one of her children. It may have been Tommy
Raimondo. Yeah, it was
Raimondo.
Tommy. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was Tommy, yes. Yeah,
and then
right.
Also, Dan McGowan, in, as far as a LaSalle alum, you have Senator Reed, you have Tom mm-hmm. Godlin, but her portrait has not been restored. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is my understanding. You know, I okay. should have asked Brother Malloy about this. That is my understanding.
The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Lunch, dinner, drinks in the lounge, especially this time of year. So much going on. They always have a nice crowd right there. Full bar, large dining area right there in the lounge. Easy to get to, whether it's lunch or dinner. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Think of this, since 1994. That's right, celebrating the big anniversary this year. I'll see you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Propane Plus, for all your propane needs, call Propane Plus today, heating and cooling. In Rhode Island, call the propane experts at 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. For Propane Plus, three generations, they're available 24/7, and they're going to serve you for a long time. At Propane Plus, you can also log on to their website. It's very user-friendly, propaneplus.com, and then you just type in your zip code, whether it's residential or commercial. Always there for you, dedicated, providing exceptional service. It's Propane Plus, energy for everyone. Call them today. In Rhode Island, call Propane Plus, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359.
Boston Globe columnist Dan McGowan is on The John DePietro Show.
Speaking of the city of Providence, where LaSalle is, Dan McGowan, what'd you make of Mayor Smiley and his State of the City address?
Very on brand for Mayor Smiley.
Yep.
You know, he wasn't going to shake the earth. You know, going to get some kudos from people who you know are going to be excited that their taxes aren't going to necessarily go up this year. I will say the caveat to that, folks, is property valuations are up next year, and that means for all mayors, this isn't just the mayor of Providence, in a good economy, and when it comes to property values, we're in a very good economy, you get kind of a free shot to raise taxes, and you get to blame property values as opposed to being the guy who, you know, who did. And so next year you can expect he'll be extracting as much money out of property values as possible. That being said, he just had a very typical, not somebody who's going to have 100 new ideas. You know, he's very concerned. I wrote a column about it this week. He's, you know, one of the things he didn't think he was going to have to deal with, a lot of was, you know, all the flooding that he's seen in the city of Providence. He says the city now spends more on flood addressing flooding than it does on snow removal, and that's 2 years running now, which is stunning. I mean, John, you've been in this business a long time, and you've been all around the Northeast, especially. Every mayor of a major city, snow removal is, you know, the number one thing you have to get right.
Yes.
And he's saying, look, flooding is worse. It's a big problem. In fact, I think in his speech last night, he said rain is the new snow. So you could see that, you know, this is a big issue. But again, nothing big. You know, he didn't feel the need to go head on tackle the Washington Bridge or the bike lane situation. Wanted to give kind of a straightforward speech. Wanted to, you know, everyone in that room to kind of feel good about what he's doing. And you know, unlike his predecessor, isn't rolling out seven new ideas every couple of weeks and you know, sometimes accomplishing them and sometimes not.
Dan McGowan, you live in the city. I spend a lot of time in the city. One thing Mayor Smiley's definitely done is improve quality of life. Murders are down, crime is down, and you know, it's interesting, without the ATVs, it's incredible now just how much of, like, it was just that always an odd feeling when they would come roaring up Federal Hill or roaring down a street. It would just add like this level of lawlessness. It felt like you were watching like a biker movie, and with that gone, I think he's done a great job with quality of life.
Yeah, you just said something. The image that pops in my head, and this is going to sound hyperbolic, but it isn't. I agree. When the ATV riders were, you know, it was 2 or 3 years running. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time, but for 2 or 3 years, they were essentially emboldened and were, you know, now with the kind of with social media taking over, you know, they're all doing videos on their, you know, ATVs. It was like those police academy movies from the 80s, like the gangs in those movies, like, you know, people with mohawks and terrorizing, you know, little ladies. I mean, that is what ATVs have become in the city. And, you know, essentially were erased last year. Now, again, it's getting warmer again. You'll see it here and there probably. But I think you're right. And I think one of the things that Mayor Smiley has done a good, so two factors here. On one hand, look, in a city that has, you know, 180,000 residents, and then another, let's say when college students are here, 15,000-20,000 at any given time, you're always going to have a level of violent crime, right? Yep. There's always going to be a shooting here or there.
Sure.
Unfortunately, you're going to have homicides, although homicides are down this year. One of the things to really look at, though, is the drop in the property crime, which oftentimes I would call quality of life type crimes, the burglaries, the, you know, car thefts, the break-ins to cars, things like that. 2 years running have been extraordinary. We're talking like 15-20% reductions both years. And what he has done very well, and he did this masterfully politically, is while he was running for mayor, it was a moment that was not a positive, as you know, positive moment for police officers. You're a couple years off of, you know, George Floyd, and you had a couple of little situations here in Rhode Island. People did not feel good about the police. The police, oftentimes when it comes to the police union, oftentimes they step in it themselves. They kind of take positions that are not in touch with, like, or in line with a lot of the mainstream of what Rhode Islanders think. And so they dig themselves a little bit of a hole. What Mayor Smiley did before he got elected was essentially, and it's going to sound more negative than, or more, you know, Machiavellian, I used that term before too, but he cut a deal with them. He said, look, I'm going to support you guys. I don't need you to come out and endorse me. I don't need you to, you know, cheer everything that I do. And you know what? Sometimes you're not going to like what I do, but I will hire police officers. I will try to get you raises. He's got a new contract with the police officer, with the police union. That's very favorable for them. And I will be straightforward with you. I'm not going to hang you out to dry. They liked that. And that, I think morale in the police department has increased tremendously, especially among the rank and file. And what that means is that, you know, you are going to have officers who are more willing to, you know, to be a presence in the community. And that's how you get some of those quality of life crimes to go down. I think the mayor's done a really masterful job because he doesn't come across, I think, for his more liberal supporters, which he has plenty on the east side. He doesn't come across as this, you know, militant, you know, he's not like Eric Adams in New York,
no.
who's like extremely pro-police. But very quietly, the police love him. The police union especially really thinks highly of him. And you've seen the results. It has paid off.
Folks, you hear me mention Roadmap. The guy breaks news all the time. It arrives right in your inbox. Has all links. It was a really incredible pitching performance by a member of the Red Sox. You have the Karen Reed case. And Dan McGowan, right now, if you'd be so kind to extend the offer. Folks, it's free. How keep people can start receiving Roadmap?
Yeah, very simple. And thanks for letting me promote it, John. Send me a blank email. rinews@globe.com. rinews@globe.com. You'll get it 5 days a week, sometime around 8 a.m., and if you send it to me today, I will sign you up. You'll start getting it first thing tomorrow morning.
Folks, he's Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe. Dan, great job as always, and I'll see you out there.
All right, talk soon. Thanks, John.
J. Perry Paving. They always provide high quality, fair pricing, exceptional service, and a free quote. Free estimate. Any project, J. Perry Paving. Call them 401-732-1730. Get your driveway paved. 401-732-1730 for J. Perry Paving. Licensed and insured contracted company committed to meeting your needs. No matter how big, how small, maybe it's a brand new paving project or just a cracked driveway that needs to be refreshed. J. Perry Paving. Call them for a free quote. 401-732-1730. You can also find them online at jperrypaving.com. Also on Facebook, it's going to make the appearance of your property worth more, look better. Commercial paving, residential. Call for your free quote today. J. Perry Paving. 401-732-1730. And look for them on Facebook. It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant. Stop in and see Marie, that historic white church. Shop local, inside, all quality products, vitamins, herbal remedies, trusted companies. They understand quality, integrity. It's My Health. It's all about your health. Local products, ICE, honey, maple syrup, beef fresh gum. You know, they carry over 250 bulk herbs, teas, and spices that can be purchased by the ounce, plus box herbs and teas, hemp and CBD products, and much more natural skincare products. Stop in and see Marie at It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland. It's all about health for you, for your family. There's vitamins for children, all different types of teas, all different types of spices. Boy, what a difference it'll make. Shop local. Stop in and see the Queen of Health. It's Marie at It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant, right in that historic white church. It's all about health. It's all about your health at It's My Health. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Well, after that scathing ESPN report, story, I should say, it's not a report, story that came out, I think it illustrates that there's a weird dynamic between former Patriot coach Bill Belichick and Patriot owner Robert Kraft. Now, there's different speculation how the relationship got to where it is. I believe that Robert Kraft, what really broke down the relationship between the two was after Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. Kraft had told people, he told me that he was done, meaning Belichick told me Brady was all done. And then he goes out and wins a Super Bowl. And I think that is what really you know, drove a stake through the relationship between the two. And then, according to the ESPN piece, Bill Belichick thought he was getting the Atlanta Falcons head coaching job. But the owner of the Falcons is very close with Kraft. And in the ESPN story, they say that Kraft spoke very candidly with the owner of Atlanta. Now, there's several reasons why, seemingly, Belichick is not coaching. Something that consistently seems to come up is a couple of things. But number one, a lot of teams feel that maybe get 2 years out of him. He wants to break Shula's record, and then he's out. That's number one. So they want someone maybe a little more long-term. Number two, his style, his approach, which is the coach is the heavy, not the general manager. Not a lot of NFL teams like to operate that way. Number three, there was a feeling you bring him in and he's just going to like blow up the building. But I think a big takeaway, you also have the Patriot dynasty, which was very anti-Belichick, which the Krafts were initially the ones behind it. Boy, there is bad blood between Robert Kraft, the Krafts, and Bill Belichick. And apparently, according to the ESPN article, Robert Kraft told the owner of the Falcons, he's arrogant, he's condescending, and if you want like a family feel, you're never going to get that out of that guy. That's just not the way he's wired. That's not the way he operates. Apparently, they were also asking Belichick, again, going back to the ESPN article, they were even asking him, why do you think a lot of your former coaches, Joe Judge, Romeo Crennel, Josh McDaniel, Matt Patricia, why don't you think they panned out well as coaches? And he apparently said, well, some people are just better soldiers than generals. So what are the options now of Coach Bill Belichick? In the ESPN piece, they mentioned there's a possibility he may never coach again. Can you imagine you fall 15 wins shy of the all-time record? Very possible. So he's turning to broadcast. He is apparently going to do something with Peyton Manning. And he also was announced yesterday he's going to start doing something with Pat McAfee, who some people may be unfamiliar with. But Pat McAfee is huge on ESPN. He's really big with College Game Day. And they're going to use Bill Belichick with the draft. This is what the appearance sounded like yesterday.
Of hearing you break, I've gotten a chance to chat with Coach now a few times over the last few weeks. Had a great dinner last Thursday night. I went to the bathroom four times. He didn't go to the bathroom once.
Jeez.
Do you remember that, Coach? You were
drinking more than I was.
I was hammering some Jack and Dines. I tried to get him an espresso martini. Found out he hates coffee.
Okay.
Fair enough.
No idea. Right? Is that real?
Absolutely. Never had a cup of coffee in my life.
All right, let me skip over this part. What's interesting also just about the camera shot of this is Pat McAfee and then I think his name is AJ Hawk. They're both fully centered in the screen. When you look at someone on a television screen or whatever, you ideally want to have headroom and you want to have them not exactly centered, but their body is in the center of the screen. But then there's just enough headroom at the top. If you watch television, you see, and when you've done it, you learn about it. With Belichick, he's low in the screen because behind him are his Super Bowl trophies that he's won, or replicas of that, because the team is the one that I think gets the official one. But here's where then they talk about that he, I believe, is going to be working with them in giving analysis with the draft.
They're on Thursday night to, you know, do the best they can to improve their team, whatever that is, whether it's trade up, trade down, take a guy, whatever. And so it's, you know, it's an exciting day. You want to try to make the most of it. And honestly, you know, there are teams that look at it as they're willing to take more risk for more upside. And then other times you want the conservative pick and you want to, you know, I want to know that I got a good player. Maybe there's another guy on the board. It could be, you know, great, but maybe there's more of a chance that he could also not work out. So
No, these are all pros, Hall of Famers.
No matter what.
All of them.
Look, we know historically that the wide receivers and quarterbacks in the first round are really a 50-50 proposition in the long run. And so, you know, that's what the stats will tell you. Each year could be different. You know, it could be 83 and you could have, you know, five franchise quarterbacks, or you can end up with none. And so, you know, time will tell on that. But, you know, at this point, everybody's optimistic that the player will reach his potential. And that's why they're being picked. They're being picked because the teams want them.
Okay.
I think it's what's interesting about it is, to me anyhow, the Patriots, Bob Kraft, Bill Belichick, to me in New England, that's not just a sports story. It is more of it carries over into the front, you know, the front page or the lead part of the news. It's not just something reserved for the sports pages, but it's tough to get away from ESPN reporting that Kraft warned the Falcons about hiring Belichick, and then look what happened. They didn't hire him. Now the Patriots deny that Bob Kraft, Robert Kraft, told the owner of the Falcons not to trust Belichick, but in the end, did they hire him? The answer is no. Belichick thought he had the game. The back cover of the Boston Herald, Patriot Games. Kraft intercepted Belichick's Atlanta coaching bid. One report had that Robert Kraft, why would he want to do that? That apparently in his mind, Brady won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. If Belichick then had success with whatever team he's in, then what does that mean about the Patriot way? What does that mean? Then it's almost as if, oh, maybe Kraft was the problem. But also in the ESPN story, one of the sources they spoke to said, you can't ignore the last 4 years in New England was a disaster. And it's really, Belichick has taken a hit. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. All right, let's go to some of the local news of the day. This story is bizarre to start off. A third dog has now washed ashore at Barrington Beach. It's so bizarre. Apparently two others, now granted all of them dead. This is the third one. They're large dogs, and the ASPCA, Rhode Island Society of Prevention and Cruelty to Animals, they're not sure what to make of this. Let's pick up the report from Channel 12.
Somewhat decomposed, we went down to the beach and talked to residents about this strange and sad occurrence.
I'm shocked.
Alan Goffberg brings his dog Bear to the beach just about every day. He says he can't believe there have been three dogs that have washed up dead on the shore in recent weeks.
I think it's a tragedy, and I'm glad I didn't see it here because my dog would have gone nuts.
You know, as I can remember, this is the first case that I've dealt with where, you know, several dogs have washed up on a beach.
The RISPCA was contacted last week by Barrington Animal Control about a dog on the beach they believe to have been washed up in the current. Special Agent Earl Newman says the RISPCA has only gotten involved with the most recent dog found, providing assistance in forensic evaluation.
As of right now, we're, you know, not really sure what type of dog it is. It looks to have been in the water for a little bit.
He says he doesn't know how the dogs ended up in the water. Sarah Bono also disturbed by these recent discoveries.
I'm shocked. I'm sad. This is a great dog-friendly beach in the off-season. I've brought my dog down here, and I can't imagine this happening here.
She says she's never heard of something like this happening.
Never in Barrington. Nothing even washing up like that at all. So it's really surprising.
The RISPCA saying they are bringing the most recently discovered dog they have to the University of Connecticut to have a necropsy performed to hopefully learn more. The RISPCA telling us Barrington Police has taken the lead on this case. We expect to learn more from police soon. Live in studio, Jake Holter, 12 News.
It is so bizarre. Now, I'm hearing of that there is some group out there, all unconfirmed, that they're behind this. And that there's more dogs that are out there, that they're finding stray dogs. And then it's terrible. They're killing them and then throwing them in the water. So, but very, very bizarre story. Now, staying over that side, the East Bay, that Bristol mom has been released on bail. death of the two-month-old. Now, what's interesting here, keep in mind, the father's not, apparently not facing any charges. So this is different than you had the two-month-old that was found unresponsive in Newport. The father there's in custody. This is different. This is, in fact, the mother of the two-month-old in Bristol. Again, let's return. This is Channel 12, 20-year-old mother, Trista, in court, face the judge, the death related to her two-month-old child.
Tonight, 12 News reporter Sheena Losciuto takes us here through what we know. And Sheena, it's worth noting that this is not the only tragic case we've seen here lately.
No.
The baby's mother's appearance in court today was rather quick, as Bristol police make one thing very clear. This investigation is far from over. Arraigned on her 20th birthday, this is the mother of the two-month-old baby in Bristol who died on Friday, Trista Tiviage. Police were called to her home on Bayview Avenue at about 4:30 in the morning. The infant was unresponsive and on the floor, eventually pronounced dead on the scene. We tried speaking with Tiviage, but no one was home. Due to the sensitive nature and the tragic details, a neighbor did not want to show their face, but helped describe what appeared to be a massive investigation.
Morning, we woke up and our ceilings were lit up in blue, and I looked out and there was just police and paramedics and everything you can imagine up and down the street, and we just couldn't figure out what was going on.
To give you a better idea of where the scene was, the Bristol Police Station is a pretty good landmark to explain it. Right now I'm standing at the corner of Medicom Avenue and Bayview Avenue. The home in question is less than a mile down the street here. Tiviage is facing one count of child endangerment and one count of obstructing a police officer, although Bristol police declined to give any more details as to what led up to the charges. Meanwhile, police in Newport continue a separate investigation in their city where another two-month-old died. In that case, a 17-year-old man is facing a felony endangerment charge. Like the case in Bristol, police have still not said how exactly the baby died. In both cases, authorities are waiting on the results of an autopsy. And the Bristol mother did not enter a plea today. She did make bail. She'll be back in court in July.
And Sheena,
what do you make of that? That number one, she's granted bail. Some people were surprised at that. I was not. It's very uncommon that someone would be held without bail. But a lot of people seem surprised at that. Someone was saying, oh, you steal something, you go to jail. And that's really not necessarily the case. I mean, in New York now, they've even gotten rid of the cash bail. But I would be very surprised if someone was held without bail. Normally, because we have our legal expert attorney Tim Dodd quite a bit, normally if someone is held without bail, it's because of they had a prior conviction of something. They were out on probation. It's very, very unusual that someone would be out. But this is so bizarre. In a span of less than 9 hours, the two-month-old in Newport, deceased, father in custody, and then in Bristol, that happened, I think, at 10:30 at night, and then 4:30 in the morning, two-month-old in Bristol, and then now you have the mother that, you know, is now facing the charges. There's something, I think, a little unusual and odd about that. Obviously, it's terrible. There's something, we need to wait to find out more information. There's a lot of speculation that there was neglect. I don't understand it, simply because they don't have other children that we know of. Usually the birth of a child is an incredible event. We can only speculate, but there's something odd that now the father is not being charged. And I find also with the Bristol case now, the obstruction of the police officer, that sounds, needs to be unpacked a little bit. So, I mean, I don't think any of this is going to trial. It'll all just be pled out, whatever that might be. But horrible situation in both situations. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. AEP Services. They take great pride installing fences of all kinds. Vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link. Experience, quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business. 401-228-7190. 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail. They have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative landscape. It adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today. AEP Services. 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences. They're resilient, water resistant. Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote, AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252, AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall, Plaster, and Home Improvements for your home or business. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Very good story that is out right now on ESPN. Voted off the island inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt. Reported by Don Van Natta Jr., Jeremy Fowler, but also Seth Wickersham. And he is very plugged in and has written a lot about the Patriots. And it starts off that on the morning of January 25th, a few hours before the Falcons named Raheem Morris to be the next head coach, Bill Belichick, believed the job was his. Second winningest head coach in the NFL, had interviewed twice with the Falcons, one-on-one session with the owner on his super yacht, lengthy interview with Blank and the team at Blank's home after Belichick flew to Atlanta on one of the owner's private jets. From Belichick's perspective, according to sources close, he thought he had done everything right. He assured Blank he wasn't seeking total control. He had most of the 24 seasons in New England. He pledged to work with the team's existing group of decision makers. He also knew he had checked his references with a group that included Patriots owner Robert Kraft, his son Jonathan. Belichick was in a strange place. Unemployment for the first time since 1996, without a job for a few days after Art Modell fired him from the franchise that had been the original Cleveland Browns. Still at age 71, Belichick, he was confident in his chances, discussing potential staff. Despite all that had transpired the past few years, including losing seasons, damaged relationships with Tom Brady and the Crafts, even in Atlanta's crowded field of 14 candidates, including former Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, former Tennessee Titan head coach Mike Vrabel, 11 offensive defensive coordinators, Belichick was confident he would be hired. No other candidate owned 8 Super Bowl rings. And then, like many fans, he was blindsided by the news Atlanta had hired Morris, the L.A. Ram defensive coordinator, who had worked for 6 years as an assistant coach coordinator in Atlanta. Soon, the 7 offseason coach vacancies outside New England were filled, all by coaches with lesser resumes. Blank, the owner of the Falcons, later told reporters Moore's, quote, was the right fit for us going forward, made the most sense. Whenever he was asked about Belichick's failed candidacy, Blank always spoke respectfully about the coach, a living legend, the owner of the Falcons called him. What Blank didn't say was that he and his top lieutenants had voted on the team's next head coach, ranking each candidate. Belichick didn't even finish in anyone's top three. The greatest coach of all time hadn't come close, and that was as close as he was going to come in 2024. So the story goes on to, why is it Bill Belichick suddenly and seemingly is unemployable? And will he ever coach again? The answer goes beyond his recent run of busted draft picks, underperforming personnel decisions, particularly a quarterback, a combined 29-39 record since the open door for Brady to leave New England. Owners have evolved in the 28 years since Belichick last hustled for a job. His brand of dual GM head coach has not fallen completely out of favor in the NFL. 49ers and Chiefs both use strong head coach models. But it says most teams are loath to grant a single person as much power as Belichick had in New England. This time around, what made Belichick great limited his options. His leadership style also caused many owners to bypass on him. And also the bad blood between Kraft and Belichick was no secret around the league, according to more than a dozen sources. Both Kraft and Belichick declined to comment. Next season, the list of potential suitors for Belichick will be limited. There's an inherent discomfort with change because people want to protect their jobs. Even Belichick was aware his head coach GM hybrid had fallen out of favor around the league. A year ago, Belichick had drinks with another head coach. Over drinks, Belichick told the coach perhaps there was a better way than the way he had been doing things for nearly a quarter century. And in the pair of interviews with the Falcons, Belichick pledged his willingness to coexist with Falcon executives. And he insisted he just wants to coach, but the Falcons realized if you hire Bill Belichick, you hire all of them. Entire philosophy, so forth. In the end, he was essentially voted off the island. Talking about the Falcon hiring process. In the coming weeks, Belichick's expected to sign a deal to analysis for Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions, which produces ESPN's Manning Cast during Monday Night Football. He's believed to be biding his time until next January for openings on teams he's told confidence he'd be interested in coaching. Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Giants. A source who spoke with longtime friend of Belichick said the friend wonders if the coach will have another opportunity. I don't think Bill Belichick will ever be a head coach in the NFL again, unless it's for Jerry Jones. So again, this is from ESPN. Really interesting how, I mean, it seems almost unbelievable, but it's very possible, according to this, that, and it goes on from there. It's a very lengthy article with impeccable sources. So, but multiple sources say that Kraft spoke with some candor to Blank about Belichick. Those sources declined to elaborate. One source close to Belichick said Kraft was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring him. The source said Kraft made clear to Arthur Blank, you'll never have a warm conversation with Belichick, echoing what Bill Parcells told Kraft in 1996 when he wanted to bust the budget and hire Belichick. Blank liked coaches who feel part of a family, and it wasn't going to be that way with Bill. The comments were consistent with what Kraft had been telling confidence for months. After an unprecedented run, after Spygate, Aaron Hernandez, after backing his coach and moving on from Brady, disagreements, public cash the Kraft's willing to spend, the owner had lost trust in Belichick, which was a key reason for the way the working relationship deteriorated in the end of the Patriot way. A second source close to Kraft said Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult, stubborn, not worthy of trust, very, very, very arrogant. Same source said he didn't know if Kraft had warned the Falcons about his trustworthiness, but said Kraft felt betrayed by the coach. I don't think they tried to hurt Belichick. I don't think they tried to help him either. They weren't going to try to sink him. But just look at his last 4 years in New England, a disaster. If you're Arthur Blank, why do you want the headaches? Spokesman for Kraft strongly denied he said anything disparaging. I don't know. When asked if Kraft had ever criticized Belichick, they said Kraft had no recollection ever doing that. Acknowledged Kraft may have done so prior to January. This is Stacey James, I believe. It would not surprise me to learn owners sometimes lament to those close to them when their teams are struggling. But he's never questioned his character. Wow. He may never coach again. Many people are close to Belichick and said, why? Everyone's asking, why isn't this guy working? And then they also go on. They talk about the Dynasty, which debuted, which ran on Apple, which was an anti-Belichick. Kraft blamed Belichick for the team's loss to the Eagles, citing his mysterious benching of cornerback Malcolm Butler. Also confirmed he had publicly denied over the years of a contentious, dysfunctional relationship with Belichick and Brady. To be honest, my head coach is a pain in the behind, but I was willing to put up with it as long as we won. Wow, really well done. Interesting story. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. For all your tree needs, call Yankee Tree today. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. Call Yankee Tree at 401-439-6028. Whether it's tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, emergency service, bucket truck service, even bobcat service, you can depend on Yankee Tree. Remember, 24/7 emergency services available. They are fully insured, licensed arborists. Yankee Tree. With all these storms, don't let some dangerous branches fall onto your home or business. Call Yankee Tree today, 401-439-6028. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. You can depend on Yankee Tree Service. Call them, 401-439-6028. Free quote, 24/7 emergency service, Yankee Tree Service. There when you need them, 401-439-6028. You need a good plumber? J&B Plumbing. Call them today, 401-743-9153. J&B Plumbing. They can repair damaged water pipes. They can repair clogged pipelines. They can replace a water heater. All your plumbing needs. Call Jim right now at J&B Plumbing. You know, plumbing is something, and suddenly you have an emergency, and then you need a plumber right away. You want to go with the experienced plumbers at J&B Plumbing, 401-743-9153. Family-run business. Now, I share their Facebook page. You can find for easy reference. But they specialize plumbing, heating, drain cleaning, most importantly, all problem-solving, quality workmanship, and emergency service. It's J&B Plumbing. You need a good plumber? I got a great one. J&B. Call them today. Call them right now. 401-743-9153. Remember, they can repair damaged water pipes, repair a clogged pipeline, replace water heaters. J&B Plumbing. 401-743-9153.